San Antonio. We got some background noise, but it's only going to last a little while. Somebody cutting my grass. I hope everybody had a good week last week. It's getting dark here in San Antonio. It's been a good day for me. I got up early this morning. I went to a Toastmasters speech contest and sang the national anthem, which I've done a few times before in the past. Today was a division contest and a lot of excitement, about 50 people there, people I know from the past. And the speeches were great. It was an international and international speech contest. And there was about 6 participants. The speeches were 5 to 7 minutes. And then they had what they call a table topics contest after that. That's when they give someone a question, just any question that you're not prepared for, and then you have 2 minutes to answer it in whatever way you can. And you have to incorporate all those good things that Toastmasters teaches you, like moving around confidently and making eye contact with the audience and using gestures and raising your voice. And it was great. The people that gave the speeches were all outstanding. I was very impressed. And with the Table Topics contest, too, really good, really good. A good time. Maybe not the preferred way to spend one Saturday morning. You know, I had to get up early, but it was very impressive, nevertheless. And so there was a first, second, and third place winner for both contests. And then I came home, and my last week was a very somber kind of week because someone who was very close to me at work passed away last Saturday, and I knew him very well. We met each other every day, talked usually every day. He was the president of the Toastmasters Club that I'm a member of. I had quit temporarily, actually, without going into the details, and then I've joined back up because without him, now the club is without leadership, and they asked me to come back. And so anyway, this man was 51 years old. He had some neck surgery last year, and I don't think he ever really recovered from it. He had a screw in the base of his neck, and he had diabetes, and not a good thing. Perhaps he was drinking at the time and maybe taking pain medication. I don't know. I heard some things about him. But anyway, he's in the spirit realms right now. I don't know where, but my prayer is that God will bless him there in the spirit lands, if you will. He was a good man. I saw the good in them quite often. Mitch Lee. Mitch, I remember you, buddy. I'm sorry that you left this life. I know you're in a place where there's no pain now, and that's a good thing. God called you home, brother. And I'll see you again. And it made me realize, everyone, just how quickly things can happen. How quickly a life can be taken away. Someone you know, a loved one, or just a friend. Anyway, I want to talk about my book tonight. And the title of it is The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. And I explained in my last two shows, about why I called my book that, because I don't want to confuse anybody. Like, I think I've been confused over the years about what the soul is. I've heard many opinions about what the soul is, and it never really told me what it is. I learned from the Rosicrucians that I was a member of, and I learned from people I talk with and books that I've read that the soul is actually the brain of the spirit, right? We all have a spirit. I think most people will agree with that. And even if they don't, they know in their core being that it's true. You know, when we sleep at night, our spirit or our astral body leaves and goes places. And I'm just going to take my computer here. I'm going to go inside because there's too much noise. Sorry. And so while I'm moving my computer here, I hope you don't mind. I'll go inside the kitchen. And I might be pausing here for a little bit, trying to get all these cords set up here. I didn't anticipate he would come back and with a weed whacker and make all that noise. Anyway, I don't have my material with me, but I guess I'll have to wing it. Okay, that's better. Well, I gotta get these cords out of my feet here. I wonder how many people are listening. I haven't asked BBS Radio. I know the internet radio goes around the world, which is really cool. Just to think, you know, that I might be talking to someone in Europe or the Middle East or Russia or some remote area of the world might be listening to me now, or maybe it's a different time early in the morning. Internet radio is a new thing, and I hope it becomes more popular. I always had a dream of being a talk show, a radio show host, and this is kind of making my dream come true and maybe helping me to get to where I want to go. Anyway, so I was talking about the soul, the brain of the spirit. When we die, our spirits leave our bodies. They can come out at different places. Top of the head or the chest. An angel can pull your spirit out of the body. Deceased relative. It can happen all of a sudden. It can happen in different ways. Maybe one finds oneself above the body floating, or all of a sudden perhaps in heaven, you know, by the pearly gates, like what happened with Don Peter. Don Peters, I think his name is, the author of 90 Minutes in Heaven. I think most people have heard about that book. He was in that terrible car accident, and then he found himself at the pearly gates of heaven. And he met deceased relatives, and he heard heavenly music. He heard angel wings, and it changed his life. I mean, he almost died. Have you almost died yourself? I almost got killed one time. When I was in the Army, I was infantry for 4 years, 11 Charlie, which is mortars. I was a mortar man. And we were on a live fire in, I think, Grafenwehr, Germany. And I got to get a drink of water. I had everything outside set up, and then I had to go inside. I didn't think that man would come back, but I'm reaching over here to grab a bottle of water. Hey, come on, out of the way, cat. Move. Hey, come on. We have a beautiful cat named Simba, who just plunked himself down right in the middle of the floor where I was about to walk. Now he's licking himself like I've insulted him in some way. Anyway, so I almost got killed one time. We were on this track, and we were doing a fire for effect in a live fire exercise. We were the main gun, and myself and the gunner were doing things that you're not supposed to do, putting rounds down the tube at the same time. And that was the first time I'd done it, the assistant gunner, and he was the gunner. And I put one down on top of one that was coming out, and it just hit the edge of the round when it was in my hand, knocked it out of my hand and went across the top of the hatch and skidded to a stop right on the edge. It wouldn't have exploded if it had gone over the edge, but it was close. And the charges on the bottom of the mortar round caused blood to come out of my wrist. All the flux of the gunpowder damaged my wrist. It didn't hurt too much, but there was just like my wrist was covered with blood, my blood there. And we looked at each other and we called a stop, ceasefire. And we were looking at each other like, wow, that was a close call. Not everyone has had an experience like that. And it makes one reevaluate one's life, right? Can you imagine that, those you people out there that haven't had one of those experiences? God forbid that you do have one, but it makes you realize that you need to get your life in order to prepare yourself in the event that maybe someday, tomorrow, or many years in the future, you might have one of those events, or you may die of natural causes. But either way, one should prepare oneself. Remember that song by, what was his name? Spirit in the Sky. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Norm Greenbaum, I think his name is. Anyway, one part of the song goes, prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. Well, I'll talk some more about Jesus, but I do believe my wife might be back. I might have to make that move again because she's going to be coming in here any second with the dogs. We've got four dogs, a big black lab, male, two female terriers, smooth fox, an American pit bull, and a dachshund, and two cats, Simba and Ninja Kitty, and they are all beautiful animals. We take the dogs out for a walk all the time. They love to go for a ride and stick their heads out the window and get that, you know, wind-blown look, like that feeling. You know that feeling you get, you know, if you're in a convertible going down the street at 60 miles an hour and the wind is just blowing in your hair, and then afterwards you feel that. That's what they love. Anyway, so the soul, I was talking about that. When we die, the spirit comes out of the body. But just like the brain, the physical brain is to the physical body, the soul is to the spirit. It's like a brain of light. Not only that, but it's a piece of God, the Creator. That's what God has given us, an infinitesimal piece of himself, herself, so that we can be like God. Indeed, that was God's master plan. That is God's master plan. That we can be like God from the beginning of the creation of the universe at the Big Bang, when the first solar system was formed and that first sun, and then other solar systems, and then one galaxy, two galaxies, if you know what I mean, all the way down the line, so to speak, many light years, billions of light years to where we are in the Milky Way galaxy. We're fulfilling God's plan. And as you know, I think, you've heard about Edwin Hubble. He proved that the universe is expanding and accelerating. It is, my friends, in fact, an artificial reality. If you would, maybe that's not the right way to describe it. The reality that we're a part of is so fantastic. It's an incredible situation. We are on a ball, a world, floating in space.
And we're traveling thousands of miles an hour, rotating at hundreds of miles an hour, but revolving around the sun. You know, 365 days, one full revolution. But not only that, we're revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're revolving around the center of the universe, and we're expanding outward too. Infinite space is increasing. And what it is dark energy and dark matter. But as far as the boundaries of space are concerned, there is like a gray area there that I can't describe to you what it is. It's like nothing. Maybe that's the way it was in the beginning when God decided to create the universe. Everything was dark and silent at the time, and nothing existed except for the Spirit, the Supreme Spirit, the Supreme Creator. And so that little piece of God is put into our bodies, in our soul, in our spirit. Or let me rephrase that. We have that little piece of light. It's like a little lamp in our souls that fires our, I guess a light bulb is a good way to describe it. It's what powers the soul. That brain of light, which is inside of our physical body, also, of course. And we can remember when we shed this physical body, much like a coat, right? When we die one day, then we'll be able to remember everything about who we are, where we came from. We existed before coming to Earth, before we were born. I don't think there's anybody out there who can remember when they were born. There might be some. There's a book by a man named Roy Mills called The Soul's Remembrance. And he talks about every single one of us existed prior to coming to Earth. Now, with the new souls, the young souls, it's different. The advanced souls, they've reincarnated a few times, been to different worlds, maybe the same world here on Earth. But everybody at one time was created. And that process of creation, I'll talk about it at another time, I think, because I wanted to cover some certain things here in this show. I think I'll take this opportunity to move back outside to my table out in the patio, talking while I do it. The man who cut our... Oh, no. He's still back there. I opened the door and he started up his weed whacker. So anyway, I'm not going to let it ruin the show. I've still got lots of time to talk, and that's all that counts. And perhaps next week everything will be smoother. Anyway, so the soul is the brain, the spirit. And also in my first show, I talked about heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is a world of light. And not everyone gets to go there when they die, because as I mentioned in my other shows, and you know, you can access those by going to BBS Radio and pulling up my page and seeing my previous shows. We are like in a school here on Earth, and the purpose is to graduate. And in order to graduate, we have to live lives that are worthy of graduating, just like in a university, you know, with a diploma. You have to excel in your courses. You have to get the right grades. So this is similar. We have to treat people kindly because we are all connected. We are all one in spirit, truly, regardless of our skin color or our gender. We are one in spirit. Brothers and sisters in spirit. Brothers and sisters in spirit. You know that, right? So why all this fighting going on? Why all the wars? Because this is a very specific kind of learning. Our planet is, okay, I'm making a move out to the back. He's gone, so it's better out here. I've got all my notes and stuff, and now I'm caught up here, so I got to undo this. Now the smell of fresh grass, freshly cut grass in the air. There's a nice breeze here. I apologize for this going on. Okay, I wanted to close the door there. I'm just going to put the headphone down here for a few seconds. I'll be right back. I'm back. Well, that's not going to happen next week. So, heaven, a world of light. Now ask yourself, if you would please, where would that world of light be? You've never really given it much thought, perhaps. How about that? Day after day, year after year, you never really had a view in your mind of what heaven really looks like. Isn't that strange? Well, let me help you out. Because I've read many books about people who say they've gone to heaven. Do you believe them? I do. Because it changes their lives. Come on. You've got to believe these people. And maybe a few percentage of them, 5-10% might be just doing it for the money or the popularity, the fame. But, you know, God forbid it happens to someone out there that is a non-believer, because that would be a rude awakening. That would be a rude awakening, don't you think? Like the book My Descent into Death by Howard Storm. He was a complete atheist, and then he died, popped out of his body, looked down on it. He was taken away by some bad spirits and to a place where there was darkness. And that's what happens to a lot of people nowadays when they're dying, I've heard. A lot of people are going to dark regions. You don't want to do that, because that's not graduating. That's like flunking kindergarten. Everyone needs to prepare themselves for that, just like happened with Mitch at work. I didn't expect that he would die. It could happen to you. It could happen to me, right? It could happen to us. So, I don't think you can ever really develop yourself spiritually too much. True that, I mean, when I learned some of these things, when I learned all these subjects that I talk about from other people, it was scary in a way, because it's knowledge that is esoteric in nature, if you know what I mean. Some people might rather watch a movie about a potential nuclear holocaust or people getting killed and shot, blown up, stabbed, or about vampires and werewolves, zombies. That's a pretty popular one nowadays, right? The Walking Dead. You're not going to get into heaven if you spend your time filling your mind with that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it might be entertaining up to a point, but seeing people get their heads mashed and chopped off and run through with swords and mowed down with guns, it's not good for you. Not good for me either. You know, those are harmful impressions that stay with you overnight. You know, when you sleep, your mind is trying to process this as you sleep. I mean, I'm guilty of doing it myself. You know, I watch it every once in a while. My stepdaughter likes it. You know, it's hard to tell people to change themselves, you know. Behavior modification is not an easy thing, especially when people get older. They're hard to tell what to do. You know what it's like, and that's one of the problems of the world. You have a lot of older people who are not willing to change their beliefs, that they're very strict in their thinking, they're very traditional, they learned what they know from their parents or other people, their peers, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. They don't deviate much. They don't think outside the box much. They're not really concerned with the truth. They're concerned with what they know and sharing that with other people. Now, that might not be true with everyone. And I know when I might have said something that offended someone, but that's why I have my show. I talk about what I believe in, and most of it I learned from other people, from books, from conversations I've had with people, from TV shows. I saw one last night, a movie, I mean, about Patriots Day. Now, that was a movie based on a true event, you know, the Boston Marathon bombings. Someone's trying to call me right now. Anyway, so the world of light. Back to that, what I was talking about. What do you think? Where is that world of light out there? It's not some fantasy land. It's a real world of light. Well, let me put something to you logically and rationally. If a spirit exists within our body, I think most people will agree that it does. Angels also have bodies of light. And the spirit is made of light energy, then do you think the spirit could exist in a fire? Well, you've heard about people going to hell and burning in lake fire. Where is there another fire? Is there a fire in the sky out there? Not really in the sky, is it? It's in space. And one question you might ask yourself is, well, there's so many suns out there. It's true, there are so many suns, and they're not really stars. Because a star system has other planets, and we're discovering those planets every day. And so let's take a look inside the sun through our spirit eyes, because when we're in the spirit, we have the same kind of senses, a little bit different, more acute. And we can see into a world, that world of fire, where there's a lot of matter around, but it's different kind of matter. It's not physical matter, it's spiritual matter. But everything here on earth is like a copy of that. So in heaven, you'll see trees, mountains, rivers, oceans. There's fields of wheat, vegetables growing, fruit growing. There's chariots all over the place, driven by angels, taking people who have just recently died to different places around heaven. And then there's the holy city, the pearly gates. Yes, it's true. And you know, my friends, we're all destined to be co-creator gods of our own solar systems. And so it's natural to believe that in heaven, there is a supreme creator, the creator of this solar system. We can be like him and her. We can have our own spirit children. We can have our own planets. We can plant it all. We can watch the birth of our sun as it forms from nothing. How? With the right words. Just like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, and God spoke and things created, we're created by those words. And if we know the words and we have the spiritual development and the evolution and the timing is right and we know how to do it, we can make that happen. How about that? Me and you in the future, having our own suns and our own solar system and our own spirit children, millions of them. We can be a co-creator God like the original creator, the supreme creator of the universe. You believe in that creator who made everything? Think how difficult it would be to create this world here. A self-contained atmosphere, 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen. It's rotating on an axis. And with an iron core, electromagnetic vibrations radiating from the interior outside. Isn't that amazing? We can be like God. Well, we can't be God, but we can be like God. And in order to become like God, we need to go through that process of evolution. And we're on a planet right now, which is of a lower category, the lowest on the evolutionary scale. And what does that mean? It means, like I said, this learning environment is like a kindergarten. We're learning basic social values, how to love each other. There's been a lot of war, killing, a lot of savagery, all the negative emotions that you can think of, all the negative stuff that exists, has existed throughout the centuries. We're only now recognizing that and trying to stop it, right? We want peace. Do you want to die in a nuclear holocaust? Well, it shows like mine and other people on BBS Radio, other good people that write these books that have had near-death experiences, who have had encounters with extraterrestrials, been abducted by them, that are making a difference. It's the people that have backgrounds in art and music that are making a difference, who are lovers, not fighters. Killing is not the way to go. Hurting other people for their beliefs is not the way to go. Are you one of those kinds of people? If you, let's say you're a Christian or a Muslim, would you hurt someone because they don't believe what you believe? Tell the truth, would you? You have to be secure in your beliefs. Once you're secure in your beliefs, then you don't care what other people think. That's why what I'm saying shouldn't offend anybody, because if it's not true, and I think most of what I do say, what I say is true because I've learned it from other people. I've had to connect the dots, so to speak, in some areas, but, and I keep an open mind always, and I think outside the box, and I would expect that other people do the same also, because my friends, we all pride ourselves on our intelligence, don't we? I'm a very good writer, I'll tell you that. I was an admin NCO in the Army 18 years. And when I got out of the Army in 2004, I continued to be an administrator kind of person. And I can write very well. So anyway, here comes our cat. And he's at my feet here, licking himself and trying to get my attention. Let me tell you about some things I wrote down, because every week I wrote down in my notebook here, which I always carry around like a good administrative person, all the different subjects I want to talk about in my show. I'm running out of time, having a good time. Do you know, I heard God speak a couple of times in the recent past. My mother said I saw an angel one time when I was very young. She ran into the room at night because I was screaming, and I said I saw an angel. But I heard God twice. The first time, and maybe it was just me, but I'll tell you about a third experience I had. But the first time was when George Bush was giving a State of the Union address. And right in the middle of it, I heard very clearly, as I do sometimes, a voice that said, "Believe in God." And when I heard that, I looked at George Bush, and it's almost like he heard that same, those same words also. Very incredible, I think. The second time, check this out. You remember President Obama when he had his inauguration, January the 20th, 2008? And all those hundreds of thousands of people on the lawn there, I mean, in the Washington, by the Washington Monument, I forget what they call it, at the mall, right? You know what I heard? Sweeping over the people, and I forget who was, I just remembered. It was, remember that, the man that gave the invocation that his son committed suicide, I forget his name. He's the leader of a church, good man. He was giving the invocation, I think. And just like that, I heard that voice again. And you know what it said? "I am." And it seemed like it just swept over everybody. I don't know if anyone else heard it. I've mentioned it to some other people, my wife included, but I don't know if anyone else heard that. I'd be curious as to whether anyone else might have picked that up. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's the way God works, you know? And the third experience I had, although it really wasn't the voice of God, you remember when Nancy Reagan was putting Ronald Reagan, she was standing outside his casket. She was saying goodbye. You know, they'd done the service and she was weeping over his casket. And I heard words to the effect of, "Nancy, I'm all right." And when I heard that, I looked at her and she made like a startling move, like she heard it also. And I just wonder if it's me or if it's other people. I think other people hear the voice of God also. Whether or not it's the same voice, I don't know. So what am I doing? I'm on a quest to seek God. I'm seeking God. And it behooves all of us to seek God. Right, my friends? Look, seek God. Seek and ye shall find. And I have found. Oh, I have found. I am very fortunate. I'm very blessed to be alive today. I could have died not only that time I told you about, but before. I drove a car through the streets of Guadalajara, Mexico at 130 miles an hour. All I needed was someone to come out from a side street. That would have been it. Just recently here in Texas, you might have heard about it. This bus, church bus, a truck ran into a church bus and killed 13 elderly people. And this young man was driving down the road, texting, swerving all over the place. It's on the front page of the newspaper. A person driving behind had taken a picture with her cell phone. A woman did. And they've got it all over the place on these electronic signs above the road. Don't text and drive. And this young 20-year-old man, I don't know if he was intoxicated, took the lives of 13 people. You know, it can happen anywhere. Driving on the streets nowadays, it's never safe, right? You know that. So let me talk a little bit about the devil. I touched on it before, which reminds me of the near-death experience that Lou Famoso, check out that name, Lou Famoso. He was a Vietnam veteran, came back from Vietnam. He served two tours. I think it was with the Navy. Bought himself a brand new 1964 Mustang. And wow, those are cool cars. I love them. I love all Mustangs. I had one before, Mustang Mach 1. Anyway, so he was going to a party, going down a back road in the country, going 100 miles an hour, and then lost control, flipped end over end several times, wound up thrown outside the car. The car caught on fire, and pop, he came out of his body. He was looking down. He had a serious head wound, right? And so he said, he had a near-death experience. Not only was he looking down on his body, he was taken to the hospital. Some friends had come by. They saw him lying there. They took him to the hospital. They were doing first aid on him. All of a sudden, you know, he started going up to the ceiling, and he found himself in this world of light. And the colors were so intense, as they are in heaven, as they are on a different category of planet, a higher category of evolutionary status, if you will. But anyway, he said he saw this little orb of light coming towards him, a golden light. Imagine that in your minds. Like a ball, a softball of golden, pulsating, radiating light coming towards you, like it was coming towards him, getting bigger and bigger and getting closer and closer. And when it got in front of him, it was about the size of a beach ball. Transformed into a beautiful being of light. And the outside of that being was as if someone took a fine quill pen and went around the outline of that spirit so that it was kind of, if you know what I mean, you know, outlining the exterior of the spirit. But he found himself face to face with who he said was God. God said to him, God spoke to him and said, "We are all pieces of a whole. We're all parts of a whole. And you know what else God said to him? Now, check this out. And I ask you, please, don't forget this. This is very important because I have internalized it. You should internalize it also. This is beautiful. You're going to love this. You ready? This is what God said to him. Man will prey, P-R-E-Y, on man until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. Anyway, so the experience went off Lufamoso, and you know what? He found himself in front of three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And God said, which one of these do you want to go with? They will show you around the universe and teach you some knowledge that you should know. So he looked at him, Michael, you know, the leader of the angels, in charge of the angels in heaven, the defender, you know, with his sword, tall. These archangels are very tall, big and tall. And then Gabriel, of course, you've heard about Gabriel through the Bible and the different interactions Gabriel had with the people back then. And then Lucifer, he said he looked at Lucifer, a beautiful, beautiful archangel also, but his eyes were very piercing. So he went with Michael. Michael gave him a tour, if you will, of the universe. But let me talk a little bit about Lucifer. And I mentioned this before. Now, in your mind, logical mind of minds, and your rational mind of minds, do you think an all-powerful and an all-knowing God would create a being that would try to destroy God, that would rebel against God, that would try to usurp God's authority? I don't think so, because that would suggest that God is imperfect, that God did not see in advance that that would happen. So what I suggest to you is the devil, Archangel Lucifer, is in charge of the demons. And guess what? What else? God's jail. Yes, I said God's jail. Hell, yes. If you don't do the right things on earth, if you don't do God's will, if you commit murder, abuse, sexual, physical abuse, if you're a non-believer, and I'm not quite sure about that, but you might just find yourself in that place underneath the surface of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. And that's no joke. In the book, 23 Minutes in Hell, I forget the name of the author, but he found himself down there, and the smell is bad, so bad. And there is no air, stifling, heat, and there's demons everywhere of the worst kind imaginable, and to include a couple. In his book, he described them as being like these malformed dinosaurs, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. One of them with terrible piercing eyes that, even though he was in the spirit, apparently the spirit has the ability to be damaged in ways and then healed again later. But it's like you could feel the pain. He could feel the pain of what this creature, this demon, was doing to him, tearing him apart, biting him, raking him with its claws. And then also in hell, you find snakes of all kinds slithering around your feet, biting you. Your feet biting you. Spiders. And then there's people that are there that are wailing and screaming and repenting, but to no avail. But let me say this, because the Bible teaches that there's eternal damnation, and I don't believe that. You know why? Let me ask you, are you a parent? You have children, right? Would you condemn them to eternity of suffering and pain? Then, if you wouldn't, why do you think a more loving father and mother in heaven would do that to one of their children? It's because some people in our past, maybe thousands of years ago, right, when the Bible was written, wanted to intimidate and put fear into people so that they could get them to believe in what they were saying and make money from them too. Also know that religion is a money-making business. Yes, it is. You know it is. So that might tell you something. You know, for me, the Bible has been a stepping stone, but it only took me so far. I still love the Bible for the wisdom that it has, but there's some things that it doesn't tell me about, and I've had to look for the details. And one way was to find out from these people that have had near-death experiences, people that have been abducted by aliens, extraterrestrials. Alien's not a good word, really, because they're out there. In the book, The Contact Has Begun, and I've communicated with this man before. He wrote that book, and he wrote two other books. But in his book, The Contact Has Begun, he says he was abducted by these extraterrestrials from the planet Verdant. And what they do, the Verdants do, what they love to do is they go around the universe, and believe it or not, even though apparently they've been traveling throughout the universe for hundreds of millions of years, yes, that's a long time, ladies and gentlemen, but you know what? The universe has been in existence for 15 billion years, so is that hard to imagine that there might be some other beings out there that were created for us, before us? We shouldn't be so self-centered and egotistical. Listen to people who have had these experiences. Talk with them if you doubt them. You might change your mind, but for the time being, listen to me as I relate this story, please. So, Philip Kraft worked for the LA Times Metro Desk for 23 years, I think. He won a Pulitzer Prize for the LA riots. He was abducted by these aliens and taken aboard their spaceship. The purpose of that was to prepare Earth for an eventual summit, contact between their race and ours, their species and ours. These beings, the Verdants, they're the typical alien type gray, if you will, with big dark eyes, approximately 5 feet tall, gray skin or tan skin, extremely, extremely, extremely intelligent, capable of light travel. You know, they surf the universe at light speed by manipulating gravity, you know, with anti-gravity and electromagnetic propulsion systems. Just incredibly intelligent people, one of the most advanced, both technologically and spiritually, in the universe. And indeed, they are the dominant species, apparently, in his book he says so. And they've colonized millions of worlds. And that's what they do. They come up to a new solar system that is uncharted, and they monitor the life there for a few thousand years and watch them as they evolve and eventually take their first steps into outer space. Isn't that something? So we were going to meet with them. They had the plans all put into place. They had abducted people, ambassadors, they called them, deputy envoys, and they abducted Phil Kraft to write this book. Because why? He was a good writer, a funny writer. Check out that book, The Contact Has Begun, by Philip Kraft, K-R-A-P-F. He lives in California, I believe. And good man. I communicated with him by email a couple of times. But anyway, he was taken aboard their spaceship called the Goodwill. Check it out, the Goodwill. Isn't that neat? Guess where it is right now? It's parked behind the moon. At least it was the last time I heard, because the summit that they had intended, where they were going to break the news to the world, you know, they were going to put it out to mainstream media about all this. You know, they had done all these abductions before. But guess what happened? Yes, sadly, 9/11 happened. And we were borderline to begin with, you know, a savage race like us, you know, all the killing and wars we've had in the past. But they gave us a break because there's a lot of good people like you all out there listening to me and listening to some of these other shows on BBS Radio about spirituality, psychic mediums, angels, whatever. So they changed their minds and they were going to give us a break and induct us, welcome us into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, 26,000 different species of extraterrestrials, much like what you've seen in Star Wars, which is not a good name, by the way, because we don't want war in space, do we, people? No, we don't. And that's one thing that they do also. If people of a planet that they've been monitoring, or I should say the sentient beings of a planet that they've been monitoring, are warlike and they want to take their warlike ways into outer space, they stop them from doing that. They sabotage their spacecraft. They keep them. They know how to do it. They've done it before. They won't let space be changed by warlike ways, if you know what I mean. So 9/11 put a monkey wrench into their plans, and now we're on probation. I don't know if we're going to destroy ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? Are we going to have a nuclear holocaust? I hope not. Let's pray not. Obviously, we don't want to die, right? I have a son. He lives in L.A. He's just beginning his life. And there's a lot of children who are growing up, and women, too. I've only got a few more minutes left, but let me say this about women. I don't know who might be listening to me from around the world, but to all the countries other than the United States and including the United States, let me say this about women. Elevate their status, people, please. Women are like co-creators. They grow babies with inside their bodies. They're like God, and yet they're treated badly. Why is that? What is wrong with us that we treat people? Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get negative on you, but women should be elevated to a pedestal. They grow our children in their bodies. We were in the bodies of our mother for 9 months. We don't remember, but it's true. We weren't breathing air for 9 months. And women, although the men provide the seed, right, for the women's eggs, we all grow in our mothers. Mothers should be not discriminated against. Women should not be discriminated against. You know, until the 1920s, they didn't even have the right to vote. And now in different parts of the world, women are abused. We should be loving women more. We should be loving each other. Why can't we adore each other? And because, I mean, we could die. What if someone were to, close to you were to die? Would you regret not having said something to them like, I love you or I'm proud of you? Are you so set in your ways that you can't think outside the box and make that extra effort to say, I love you to somebody? You don't want to go to hell, do you? I'm just joking. But I'm serious, too, at the same time. No one wants to go to hell. And I've talked a little bit about suicides, and I don't have a lot of time left. I want to say a prayer, but people should never commit suicide. Not only will you make God mad, and you don't want to make God mad, you're going to find yourself in a place where there's no love, no hope, no light. It's going to be 10 times worse than you think you've had it, that you have it right here on earth. Don't commit suicide, please. Pass that along. We've got to stop it. Like every, I forgot the statistics, every few seconds there's a veteran, you know, not only just any people, but a veteran commits suicide. Maybe PTSD, you know. Don't do it, because there is life after death. And God wants life to be hard. He's never going to give you too much. God is never going to give you too much to handle. And you can pray. That's going to help you. And you can read the Bible. So I'm trying to pull Skype up here, because I've only got a few more minutes left, and I have to read the instant messenger. Okay. I'm good. All right. So I've got a little bit of time left. Let me say a prayer right now for everyone. And in my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, there's a chapter on how to say prayers, and there's a sample prayer in another chapter. Some really cool chapters in my book, to include my poems. I've got some neat poems. I talk about the lowest heaven, which is above the clouds, and the highest heaven, which is the sun. I talk about the ghosts, you know, people who die suddenly and unaware that they died, who walk the earth plane here, the people that die and they go underneath the earth to different degrees of darkness, different levels, all the way down to the core of the planet where there is lava fire, and that's the hell that we hear about from the Bible. Anyway, so, before I give a prayer, just one other thing. Homosexuals, people who are of another, let me just talk about homosexuals, who they are. And this isn't true in all cases, but this is what I think, and I've learned this from other people. Within our body is a spirit, right? We all have a spirit. But guess what? When we shed our physical body and we find ourselves in the spirit, we're going to realize we're either of one gender or another. Sometimes we have a little bit of both, but more predominantly one or the other. So for different reasons, such as paying back karmic debts in a previous lifetime, one spirit of a particular gender may decide to come to Earth or on any planet in our universe in a different gender. So I've seen them all over the time, haven't you? A man has a female spirit, or a female has a male spirit inside. And I can see it clear as day. And these people are fulfilling a mission. Maybe they were disrespectful or in some way did something to a member of the opposite sex in a previous lifetime. But anyway, I'll expound more upon that later and talk more about that in my next show. So now I only have a minute or two, just a quick prayer for everyone. Dear Master, the universe, Creator, God, be with us now. May the Holy Spirit blow over me at this time. I ask this humbly over everyone listening to my voice. Please, God, you are awesome. You are magnificent, God. We love you. Thank you for the miracles of creation. Indeed, as I look out into the sky, I see the stars. In my backyard, I see the beautiful peach tree and a plum tree. God, I smell the fresh air. This world is a beautiful planet that you have made, God, with life abundantly. It's full of different kinds of life, God. Who could think possibly that this is an accident? Because you are a creator, God. You are a creator of bodies, and you are great and marvelous and magnificent and incredible and fantastic and fabulous. God, I love you. We want to love you. We want to worship you. We're going to worship you when we get to heaven. That's what they do all the time. The citizens of heaven, they worship you all the time because that's the right thing to do. All this creation, how do you do it, God? Create something from nothing. So we need to create our worship. We need to give you praise. God, thank you. May everyone within my voice, within the sound of my voice, be blessed. Protect them, please, God, in any way they need it. Guide them, please, God, in the ways of righteousness and wisdom, learning wisdom and understanding. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing for us, all that you've done and all that you will do. We love you, God. I know that you love us. Please bless us, God, everyone on earth, every single human being. Bless us, please, God. Thank you. 1,000 thank yous, God, for all that you've done. Thank you, God. And a hug and a kiss for you, God. And Jesus, too. I know Jesus, he's there in heaven and sitting at your right-hand side. And Muhammad and Vishnu and Buddha, they're all there. And I love them, too. They're all great and wonderful. And I love religions. I'm just saying we should expand our knowledge and learn spiritual truth, God. Help us learn spiritual truth. Thank you. Thank you for this radio show. Please bless Doug and Donald for this medium to get the word out about you, God, through my book, The Gray Brain, The Golden Soul. Thank you so much, God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't say in Jesus' name. I don't think we have to. I don't believe in Jesus being an intermediary. We can communicate directly with our Father and Mother in heaven. They created our spirit and our soul. We can talk with them anytime. We don't need anybody in between. That's what I believe. I know what the Christians believe. You're entitled to that belief, and I'm entitled to mine. That's it.